At IKEA, we pride ourselves on providing the most accommodating shopping experience possible. That's why we've created Ajo, the new IKEA breakup room. We know that IKEA is the number one place couples realize they actually can't stand each other.
Have you been there? Why is navigating that endless maze of cookie-cutter domestic perfection so totally stressful? In fact, Dr. Ramani Devasula is a professor of psychology at California State University and actually reckons IKEA is the ultimate relationship test. She even gets couples to assemble IKEA furniture as part of counselling sessions. She joins us now via Skype. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm well. What is it about IKEA that makes it so stressful?
I think IKEA, just like relationships, is all about expectations. We want our lives, we want our relationships to look a certain way. So when you go into IKEA with your partner, you sort of see this room of your dreams, but it's really shocking when you realize you and your partner are not on the same page. And then you're reminded of some of those ugly words like compromise and communication. And that's not always how people want to be reminded of that. And so I think it really brings that stuff to the surface.
So there are big domestics in IKEA?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I look at the rooms you have to walk through in an IKEA. A kitchen, a bedroom, a living room, a dining room. By the time you're done, you've fought about who cooks dinner, your sex life, who's going to come for holiday dinner, and where are you going to put the sofa.
So is it your view that if you can actually survive a couple of trips to IKEA that you kind of have an enduring relationship?
Well, it's not just about surviving the trip to IKEA, but it's also surviving, more importantly, the ability to assemble the furniture. Because I think that for me is the real test here. It's one thing to look at all these wonderful rooms and all this wonderful furniture, but it's quite another to get that big, bad wall unit home and put it together and have it stand there in your living room.
Tell us about the divorce maker.
The divorce maker, the Lichtorp wall unit. This thing's got drawers and it's got doors and it's got glass. And it's like huge. So it requires two people. There's no way one person could get that thing put together and up on a wall. So if a couple is going to do it, they have to be able to communicate, collaborate, respect each other, trust each other, and not throw the instructions in each other's face. So it's a tall order.
So isn't it just a better idea to maybe spend the extra money and go and get fully assembled furniture rather than put your relationship through this horrendous test?
Well, I like the idea of people putting their relationship through some paces, because at the end of the day, it's the day-to-day stressors that can really wear down on a marriage. And if you can manage using putting together a piece of furniture as an exercise and learn from it, I think as a couple, you may be able to bring those skills to bear as you manage all the many other day-to-day stressors that make up a relationship. I actually think it's a good thing to do to see if you guys can sort of get through this kind of stuff so in the future you can get through other things.
Well, you have a pretty interesting way of helping couples who struggle with this. You actually get them to assemble furniture in your therapy sessions. Do people pay for this?
I don't have the luxury of us doing it in my office, because obviously then they'd have to get the furniture out of there. It is when they're at a point where they're going to buy the furniture, I say, okay, let's use this as a therapeutic task. And they can take pictures, take videos, send me texts, like bring me up to speed on exactly how it's going for them. And instead of just viewing it as assembling furniture, they have those ground rules. They have to do it together. They have to talk about it. It has to be a collaborative task. And no, they can't hire somebody. And so we use it as a task to learn from. Then they come and they report back. And couples will say things like, wow, like, we did not behave well. We did not communicate clearly. We were yelling at each other. We were throwing the instructions in each other's face. And then we can build upon that to go to the next step. Listen, if I had all the time in the world, I would go right into their living room and watch them do it. But unfortunately, we're not allowed to do that as therapists, is wander into people's homes and kind of get into their lives like that.
Is there a way of preparing yourself for a peaceful trip to IKEA? And I want to also add to this, I have young children. Going to IKEA with young children is a form of torture, and I will no longer participate in it because they hide in all those hidey little spots. You lose them. This is a real relationship tester as well. Do you find families that have young children also struggle with this?
I always say that a family of four that goes into IKEA together and still comes out as a family of four, you're in great shape.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Again, there's layers of stress. And one thing I say about IKEA is, like everything in a marriage or everything in a relationship, you've got to prepare. Just like you wouldn't just show up to the airport with your bags packed with no ticket and no destination, nor should you show up to a big kind of psychologically heavy store like IKEA without a plan. Listen, we have this wonderful thing called the internet. Go online, figure out what you want, and don't go on a day when you've had a lot of stress. Like if you've had a tough day at work or there was a lot of traffic, that may not be the best day to put yourself through this kind of chore. Do it on a day when you're prepared for it or you're setting yourself up to fail, just like with most things in life.
I have to ask as a final question, why is it that we go to places like this that we know cause stress on the wrong day all the time? Why do we keep making those mistakes?
Part of the reason we make those mistakes is because on stressful days, we often make worse decisions. Our brains aren't working as well. It's almost a self-punitive mode. Like we don't think things through and we keep pushing ourselves, not realizing that we're going to make mistakes, we're going to buy the wrong pieces, we're going to leave some of the parts behind. It could really be a series of disasters in IKEA. And before you know it, you left half the stuff on the curb and now you got to go home and assemble it. I think when we're stressed, we don't make good choices, and that's the bottom line.
And there's only one thing worse than going to IKEA, and that's going to IKEA to return the thing you bought at IKEA, right?
Absolutely. Because I'll tell you this, if one thing brings couples down, and I've learned, is that when they go home with all the IKEA stuff and then they realize, oh my gosh, you were supposed to purchase the drawers separately, World War III starts before they even open one of the boxes and start assembly. So there's lots of places along the way in this IKEA shopping experiment you can make mistakes. Right from the minute you park your car to the moment you get home and you start taking everything out of the box. So again, it's all about mindfulness, and that's really what relationships are about.
Thanks so much for joining us on RN Drive. I feel a lot better, actually. I'm never going to IKEA again.
Yeah, and don't take your kids. Definitely don't take your kids.
Never again. And that's Dr. Romani Devasala, a professor of psychology at California State University in Los Angeles, who focuses on what IKEA can tell us about relationships. Coming up, you'll hear one of my favorite drawing room conversations from earlier in the year about an ancient indigenous bush trail called the Bundian Way.